We have a number of questions here to be fielded, and anyone that has a question now and you need a slip of paper to write it out on, would you raise your hand? I know you have some questions. Just feel free to ask them. Any question that's on your mind. If someone comes to you later, just raise your hand and our brother see that you have a slip of paper. Thank you. Here is one from Ahaji, who is from Nigeria. Should we still be praying for the 9 spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit in the local assemblies, or did the prophet manifest them for the bride? Brother Vail, would you answer this?
Brother Branham said as long as there's a true bride on earth, there would be a true gift of tongues, and those gifts would be true. He also said in several places that they ought to be all in even a local assembly. And talking about whether the prophet manifested them for the bride, now that could be very accurate, really, because we have different times that Brother Branham said that if one person did it, that would represent the bride, see? But in his own ministry, it wasn't too long. Let me see now. That picture taken by Brother Organite, Brother Organbright, I guess that was in, was it Sweet Valley or something like that in California? What year, I'm not sure, but in discussing that picture with him, he said, see, they represent all 9 gifts, and I have them all. And he also told me that he never lacked in the sense of losing any of those gifts, that they were all with him. And he also, and you find this in church order, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but many times because we are, a little worried about how things are said, we just don't examine them right down to where they are. And the question came up, concerning gifts in the church, if they were there, how would they operate? And Brother Branham said now, they were doing certain things in his tabernacle, which Brother Neville and he talked about. And he said to Brother Neville, let it be, and we'll see if it's a bastard child or not when it takes correction. Well, it didn't take correction. It went down to Junior Jackson's church, and there they continue to speak with tongues on the floor. And at the same time, Brother Branham categorically said, if you will set the church in order and put that room aside, I'll go in that room with you, and we will have the gifts properly. Now, they didn't want the gifts properly. And so what we see here is the gifts, per se, have not been taken away. But what it is, when you put them in order, that is the time whether you see they'll be working or not, or whether there is life in it. Now, remember, the life went out of the Lutheran age, out of the Western age, and out of the Pentecostal age, which was the baptism with the Holy Ghost and restoration of gifts. And as Brother Branham said, justification gave way to sanctification, sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and baptism of the Holy Ghost gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. So that if you have any gifts in operation, they are going to have to be in that room positively. They are going to have to be judged positively. They're going to have to be brought before the whole church positively, and the whole thing must be exactly in that order. And then if they will operate under those conditions, and providing that people are gifted. Now, you don't go there trying to make something work. You go in there, first of all, under the spirit of discernment being there. Number one, discerning of spirits. You've got to have that. Now, you say, Brother Bear, we don't have it. Well, that's fine. You could ask the Lord if it were possible. Somebody might have it. And you got to wait and see. Because you don't dare force the hand of God on this. Because if you do, you'll get leanness of soul. You'll mess up just 100%. So if you put your church 100% in order, and something begins to come forth and proven to be of God, that is a literal, thus saith the Lord, in that field, not in word field. And sure, you go ahead. Myself, I don't worry about them in our church. We don't have a little room, but I can tell you this, that if there was an interest and we felt led, I wouldn't hesitate to go in that room with the people, though I am not supposed to be in that room with the people. My ministry lies in the Word. And your gifts, if you have them, will complement my ministry, providing I am your minister. So I would kind of presume that this brother could well be a minister. And I would not say, brother, you couldn't go in that room, because Brother Branham said he would go. But he's different from us because he was a prophet and would know how to do these things. But you would certainly have to come to the place as a minister, that you'd have to put it in perfect order, and then it must complement your ministry. See, this is what we're looking at. A lot of people say, well, we as the people who believe in Brother Branham are against gifts. We are not against gifts. But remember, Brother Branham, the question came up, can a man full of the Holy Ghost with a genuine spiritual gift be used by the devil? He said yes. Now listen, I'd hate to have that happen. And I'm not saying it will happen, and I'm not saying it won't happen. But you see, if you don't put it under absolute order, you have opened your door to problems. Now, if it doesn't operate, well, so what? See, don't force it. But there's no way that I can teach, compatible with what Brother Branham taught, that these would be gone. Now, when you're talking about prophecy ceasing, you're not talking about a gift of prophecy. You're talking about what was given in part. And you can't have a gift of prophecy in part that says, little girl over here says, there's going to be a train wreck. And somebody says, yes, and it's going to be at Mrs. Jones's house. Yes, and third person says, and it's going to be on Wednesday, and the fourth says, at 3 a.m. That'd be prophecy in part with a gift. Forget it. Prophecy in part is the Word of God in 7 church ages in 7 parts. And when all 7 parts are fulfilled, there's no more word that has run out. You are at conclusion and end. But that's not saying that about these little gifts, see? So put your church in order. Don't be afraid. See what happens. And if something happens that isn't right, close it down. Now, how much time have we got here? You don't mind if I slash, do you? Or we're going to slash. There's a certain church in Mississippi. I was phoned concerning the situation there that a certain brother who could not come to church because it was too far. He would hear from God in his home, and he would come with the prophecy. It was strange it wasn't too far to come with it. But he would be there. And he would tell the people things, and the things were coming to pass. Maybe not all, but certain number. I phoned the brother in charge, and I said, my brother, listen, this is not the way the prophet taught. He said, but Brother Dale, you don't understand. He said, the man has a long way to come. I said, but I do understand, my brother, because the man comes to your church and tells you anyway. For how do you get it? I said, you must put it under order. He must come there with the witnesses and judge it. But you don't understand, brother. I said, but I do understand, my brother. And I'm telling you, as warning you, as a Christian brother, this is going to lead into trouble. Oh, my brother, don't understand. I said, fine, my brother, but understand this. I won't phone you again. But your blood is on your own head and responsibility. Today, that man has got a 5-inch pick from God. He plays a fluky kind of a guitar that's supposed to unite the bride. Now, the man wrote the letter and said it would do it. Then he wrote another letter denying it. Now, look, we're not here as babies. Now, I get criticized all the time because I speak out. Well, if you got a 4x4 gun, you may shoot me now and put me out. But that's y'all shut up. Now, this man is wrong. This man is wrong. Another man in Saskatchewan had a little so-called gift of prophecy. And I don't mind mentioning names because I won't mention his name. I don't even know it. But Dave Cook flies an airplane. And Dave likes to fly. And so the man came and he prophesied that this boy should not fly because his plane could come down and get killed. I said, Dave, I want to ask you one question. Has this man's prophecy ever failed? He said, yes. I want to ask you a question. Do you feel impelled in your heart that you got to stop flying? He said, no. I said, keep on flying. That's years ago, and he ain't killed yet. Well, you asked the question. I'm long-winded. Jack Bell came to my rescue. He said, he's not long-winded. He just got a lot to say about a subject. Thank you, Brother Bell. You are my kind of a boy. Tell him that, Tom. Sometimes he doesn't think I believe that. All right, so your answer, I've given you the... An answer, at least in part, sure, brother. Don't be afraid. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You believe the word of Almighty God. If this can happen in your church, fine and good. But put it under order. Do what the prophet said. See what happens. the age of gifts is actually over, but remember, justification is still here. Sanctification is still here. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is still here. I believe the gifts and measure are still here. I believe restoration is here. Let us harmonize the great symphonic word of God. There's no trouble if you are right.
One thing I like about Brother Vail, he's straightforward. You know where he's coming from. I appreciate that myself. We have several questions here. Here is one. It was mentioned the other night that Brother Branham said that the sixth seal opened on March 1964. They asked the question, where did the prophet say this? I know he said that. The sixth seal, I believe, was the tribulation seal. And I believe it was connected with the Alaskan earthquake. Yes,
I can't tell you the quote, but if somebody had a concordance, you might find it.
Yes. And I think if you look under earthquake in the concordances that Brother Mamelis has put out, you can answer that question for yourself. And I trust we all can read. Could you please explain the earthquake mentioned in the Church Age book on page 323? What is its significance? Also, does this have any bearing on the time of mercy? No, we need to know what is on page 323. Does anyone have a Church Age book here? You do? Give that to Brother Vail, would you please? The first question here is, please explain the earthquake mentioned in the Church Age book on this page. What is its significance?
I don't know if I got this right or not, but the only earthquake I can see here is once more God will shake the earth and with it shake everything loose that can be shaken, then renovate it. Well, all right. That's actually has a double entendre there. Just last March 64, Good Friday earthquake last shook the whole world, but did not unbalance it. Really, there's a combination there, and I know this is true because having written the book, I know the background of it. It has to do with Hebrews 12, which Brother Branham mentioned, first of all, the shaking is shaking down of the world church. And, of course, with that, there's also going to be the shaking down of those things which can be shaken in the earth, which will be, of course, mighty earthquakes, one of which began to happen in March of 1964. But it's no specific earthquake that is mentioned there at that particular time. It's just a matter of a reference to it. Said, but God is warning by a world tremor that he would soon do it on a greater scale. There again refers to the fact, Brother Branham said, when you see the shaking about, you know, the big blast is going to come. He's going to blast and rock this sin-cursed world, my brother and sister. And there's only one place that can stand that shock, and that's in the fold of Jesus Christ. So what you have there is not the mention or the pointing to one certain event. It has to do with the actual, conditions that are going to be there from this point on. Because God, one more time speaking from heaven, has already taken place, there's no doubt. When the mighty angel spoke from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, in Revelation 18:4, that was definitely Brother Branham through the Holy Spirit, the mighty angel. Because remember, the prophet has to have God in him. This type of prophet, a little fivefold minister prophet, he just, something comes to him. But when you're speaking of this, you're speaking of a great prophet, the end time. Now, Matson Boze wanted to see a great revival, a great thing shake Chicago. And Brother Branham said, my brother, you don't understand. The great shaking that you wanted to see has occurred. And it was Brother Branham's message that was literally shaking the churches, the world churches. And it was his ministry that shook it because everything is now judged in the light of the prophetic message. See, he'll judge this world by one Christ Jesus, and that's the Word. And he is here as judge. Because remember, the face that was in the clouds was the same one that Brother Branham said the camera took the pillar of fire over the shoulder. Now listen, I'm telling you the truth and I know what I'm talking about. So you better get, now listen to me and get this thing correlated or you're going to be out of the ballpark somewhere. It's the same one. See? That one is that judge. And with this message comes a shaking down of every single church except the church of the living God. And with it, there comes the purging of the church and the purging of Israel and the purging of the earth. And the earthquake here is literally more symbolic than it is natural. See? Now the earthquake in March opened the sixth seal, which signifies that you can look for in this generation with apprehension or without, but positively, the 3.5 years of tribulation, where I believe 1/6 of the population dies at one time. New York City will be inundated with water, and it's a salient fact that the westerly prevailing winds over the Atlantic Ocean, I believe, have raised the water in a heap in the middle of the ocean 150 feet. And when the winds are ceased, which they will cease, and it said, don't let the wind cease until such a time, that water will come back up maybe, 40 feet on, 20 feet at least, perhaps, on New York. So there'd be large inundations. So what we're looking in this book here is not to try to give you the picture of the great earthquake in Los Angeles or the big one at the West Coast and tying it into this. You're looking at an overall picture. Now, when I've talked to Brother Branham concerning the vision or the prophecy of Los Angeles, at that particular time, he said, now, Lee, I want you to do me a favor. He said, when people talk to you, I want you to tell them, I do not know if that earthquake will be this side of the Great Tribulation or the other side. And I want you to tell them. But you will find in the later tape, evidently he heard from the Lord, and he put it on this side. So, just put it this way. You're getting earthquakes, and they are increasing. But the big thing is the earthquake of the Word of God against the church. And remember, everything is shaken down. Now remember, everything is shaken down but this Word. The bride alone has a firm foundation. See, which is built upon a revelation. And you are a part of that revelation. And remember, the last revelation the bride is waiting for is the rapture. And I got news for you, you are in the rapture. Now, I don't care what other people say, that's their business. But I happen to know the Word of God. And I'm willing to stick my neck out for you, leading you astray or not astray. I'm not at all fearful. Because I know myself, if I miss the shout, forget it. Amen. And remember, Brother Branham said all three occur before his literal appearing in the flesh. I didn't bring my book, but I got an underline. I've been preached already about 21 hours on it, and be about 25 more to go. See? So, did I answer that question?
This is a good question. Thus, what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. That is the standard. There is no other pattern. No matter what the scholars say, God has not changed that pattern. Church Age Book 67. What pattern does this presence follow? Take that.
Of course, there again, you got to understand background. On that, the pattern actually is what we're into at this point. You got to start with the individual believer and those individuals coming into form a body. And it's repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the repentance, first of all, as Brother Bob brought out, and he's absolutely correct. I know it's a little difficult for you to kind of grasp it if you just listen now. You're going to see he's 100% correct. There isn't one person who was baptized with the Holy Ghost who held on to what they had under the law. For the law was until John. And it had to go, period. And watch Paul at Ephesus. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, what are you talking about? We didn't know if there was one. But he said,
What were you baptized unto? Is it unto John? He said, oh, that's it. He said, you just got as far as John. Now forget John. So, if they were Jews, they had to forget the law, which was until John. They had to go to grace and truth. Now look, people don't like this thought, but we're mental creatures. The reason for that is because the spirit is in the mind, or the mind is in the spirit. I don't care how you put it. They're together. And so you have got to let your thinking go. And the minute you let your thinking go, that's the time that you are the candidate for the reception of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, these people were religious. They were good people. Albeit that Paul was a bit messed up on his thinking when he thought he was doing God a favor by killing Christians. But he said, according to law, I was blameless. See? Now, he had to drop every single thing that he had. And there's lots of people today that in their denominations and all, they have got a smattering of the truth as the Jews had, which smattering was they were looking to the Messiah, which they misunderstood as the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. So you see, their smattering was fine, but it didn't get them there. Now you got the same thing over here in our age. Many people have a smattering, which, like the Lutherans and so on, Pentecostals, the life has gone out. There's no way that they could receive the Holy Ghost. But as soon as they see this word, the revelation, and remember, it's got to be by the Holy Spirit. And remember, Peter was not full of the Holy Ghost when he got his revelation. Neither was Paul. That puts them in the position of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that was the church at Pentecost. The original pattern is give up your own thinking. That's why Brother Branham said, give up your thinking. Now you say, well, I don't think I want to do that because, you see, that would make me some kind of a robot. Better a living robot than a dead horse. Because let's tell you, a bond slave for Jesus Christ, the bond slave is not a man who says, well, boss, I think I'll do it this way. The boss said, you thought wrong. I'm doing the thinking. Everybody says, I want to be a bond slave. Oh, sweet Jesus, hallelujah, help me, Lord. Now, listen, I'm a tough customer, and I hang tough because some of you guys need it. Not necessarily you, but the principle that's amongst them. Pentecost, the people gave up their thinking. They gave up their religion. They gave up everything. It was a new slate. See? So that's how the original pattern was. Now, from Pentecost on, you will notice that in that church, repent, be baptized, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Ghost, receive gifts of the Holy Spirit, receive ministries, go in all the world and preach the gospel, become witnesses. Every man has a testimony. Every man has a position. Every man does what the Word says. And the Word does not say too much. It just says, avoid fornication and things strangle and don't drink blood. But you don't have a lot of pots and pans and do's and don'ts and this and that. Because if you're truly born again, it would not have been necessary for the people to have had all these things thrown in there. But you see, people just can't let their thinking go. Now the original pattern is to let the thinking go, be full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ministers to us in order to minister through us. And remember, Paul said, he said, according to the exercise of His Spirit, that is at work within us. Now that's the right translation. It's according to the exercise, God exercising His own Spirit that is at work within us. That will bring us to the place where we have the right leading of the Holy Spirit. As Brother Branham said, the bride will have the word and she won't make a move till she knows what to do with it. That was original Pentecost. Now let's go a little further. Original Pentecost went through all the world. They preached the gospel. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. That's original Pentecost. So what we're looking at here is not you going back to the first age where they did not have the revelation of the resurrection, the spirit of wisdom in the church. You're going back to the original age of what was the original foundation, And it never changes. That's why Brother Branham said he picked every church age messenger pattern on how close he came to number one. Now, you couldn't take the first church age messenger and pattern him after Paul because the word came to Paul. And from that time on, you had to have Paul. But we know that the Holy Spirit had to bring the word to the people in certain sections in seven church ages. So those men, by the Holy Spirit, began to understand the word of the hour, and they began to preach that word to people, and they were the Holy Spirit to the people. See, now today, what do you have? You have, and the Roman Catholic Church is very smart. They said, we have a prelate, we have a vicar of Christ. A vicar of Christ means one who is here in the stead of Christ. Paul was a true vicar of Christ. And he wasn't voted in by any cardinal, college of cardinals, or a bunch of half-baked bishops who are a little bit too tight to know how to tie up their shoes. They had a bunch of nuns running around taking care of them. And they're no worse than the bunch of stupid Protestants who ought to know better having come out of the house of prostitution. So you don't get it by that way. It is, you have, now here, for you and me to recognize a true Seventh Age Church prophet messenger shows that we have got something nobody else has. Well, if you don't believe that, go talk to your preacher. Or your buddy. See, you've got to get to the pattern. Now, it doesn't mean we're going back to Pentecost because we can't. You can't go back to that day. You can't go back to being a baby. The baby that's born is growing up, up, up. See? And you're coming into greater and greater glory. But there's no pattern that is changed per se. See? That's what you're looking at here. So, now the thing is, have we gone back to the pattern? Are we original? Well, Brother Bob brought it out. Absolutely, change your thinking. If you haven't changed your thinking, you're still back in the pest house. The red light house. Fornicating with the creeds and dogmas. Now, what are you, a dog, a sorcerer, or a whoremonger? Or a murderer? Which, I don't like those words. Ha! I enjoy them. Because I'm not any of them. I don't mind if you tie a tin can on the dog's tail. I ain't got no tin can to have one, tail to have one tied on. Now, you have all I'm saying. Now, you might not like this. You do what you want. I don't care about you. I don't. Where are you lining up? Are you a saint? Are you back to the pattern? Or are you still out there? Now, you can check these things out. Man come along and says, well, I believe William Branham is a prophet. He said, I'm born again. Now, let's go a step further. Does that spirit in you say amen to everything the prophet said? Well, you say just a minute. I don't just a minute, but I'm glad you said just a minute because I'm saying it for you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 36 and 37, somewhere in there. Paul said, what came the word of God out of you? Did it come to you only? No, he said, where did the word of God come from, you or me? Now he said, if any man is a prophet or spiritual, he's a prophet for the Holy Ghost, fivefold minister, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. Now you're back to original. The birds around say, oh, we're Apollos, we're this, we're that. But he said, you're not one of us. Goodbye, Charlie. Well, you say, Paul wouldn't do it, wouldn't he? When Barnabas got circumcised, he said, out, out, out. He said, he's a joker. Then some of you folk want to be real sweet and footsie with some of these guys out here that can't stand for the truth. And you'll even pray in such a manner. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Save your breath. I got quotes from the prophet of God showing you're wrong, I'm right. Why do you think he got kicked out of the Baptist? Wouldn't ordain a woman. Let's get back to the original. Here's your, you wanted your question, you're getting an answer. I wrote the book. And I know I wrote it. I know every day better and better why it is. No matter what the scholars say. What do the scholars know? Nothing. Actually, show me one original thinker. Ha! That's a good one. I'd like Brother Unger. Now, Brother Unger, I would give you $50 billion if you can originate one original bar of music. Dead duck. I got my $50 billion. No such thing. He knows that. No such thing. Hasn't been for years and years and years and donkey years, not even computers. What do I care what the scholars say? What do you care what the scholars say? What do you care what I say? Fact. Take a shovel and bury it. Oh, Paul liked what he learned. He called it dung. People don't like that kind of talk. Some of these birds that tell lies and make all kinds of fuss about us guys that stand with the word of Almighty God and insist to be carried out. Bob can quote the Apostle Paul, who was quoted by William Branham, and he's called a vulgar man. He ain't X-rated like I am. The same men are liars. You want me to be nice up here, and somebody lied about you, you'd sue for $50 million liable. Paul said, when you've been taught of God, you don't tell lies. Now we're getting to nitty gritty. You want a pattern? You want a pattern? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The original pattern was no man durst join themselves. I'll be glad that day. Yeah. If it ever comes. When I can't sit with the doves if I'm a crow. And the crows can't sit with me if I'm a dove. Say, Brother Vail, you're not nice. You tell that to God because he's not going to have it any other way either. The day of the ark's over. And they sat again. I'm not trying to rouse you up and make you bloodthirsty. I'm not bloodthirsty. I don't like to see your blood or my bloodshed, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Word of God's word of God. Vindication, vindication. You want original pattern? You're hearing it. Why do you think they took that word out and died for it? Yeah. Who's got time to preach? I've got time to preach. Whether I take it or not. Listen. Antichrist, white horse, red horse, black horse, brindle. You know, as Brother Branham said, poured into one. Red, black, white, that's brindle. The Greek says it. Brother Branham didn't know the first word of the Greek, but he said poured into one. Brindle. The brindle horse. All right? Four living beasts. Lion, ox, man, eagle. All poured into one at the end, too. He never gave a justification, sanctification, baptism, restoration gifts. No. Just perfect the whole thing. Finished it, brought it all to the peak where it is today. Perfect has come. It's all over, I don't care what anybody else says. Now listen, what I'm trying to tell you is this. If I'm true concerning this, an Antichrist can only copy Christ, then Christ has all three poured into one at this hour. This word will go forth like a lion. I believe there'll be those who die under the calf. There'll be those who stand with that face of a man and defy anybody, cut him right down. And be those with that revelation standing there, like the prophet. You do what you want. See, I don't believe that, Brother Vail. It's your privilege. I believe it. Is that Bible a true pattern? Absolutely. What did Brother Van say about the elect, the bride? Wise virgin foolish. He said, same piece of cloth. But God laid a pattern on the cloth, and he hasn't got through cutting, as far as I know, so the pattern remains original. Sure, it's original pattern. That's nice knowing you people. What you got?
Good question. In the following quotation, taken from the tape Rapture, preached in December the 4th, 1965, on page 27, paragraph 129, Brother Branham says, now I want you to notice a great thing taking place here now. Don't miss this. See, now notice, the word says here in 2 Thessalonians that there's three things. Notice from the 13th to the 16th verse, there's three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Question, have all three phases already taken place? Question one. Question two, if it has already taken place, don't we have new bodies? Part three, when did, what day and morning did the trumpet sound between 6 and 9 o'clock? I tell you, this one's going to take a master.
Give me the question. I'll need the question.
That was kind of what you've been preaching here.
Yeah, well, actually, what day? It hasn't occurred. Hasn't occurred. You'll know it when it does occur. Now, I like your quote there. It's excellent because that's the one I was trying to get in my mind a while ago. But here is the thing that's not the person that wrote it. Now, this is not critical. This is a very wonderful question. Everything is excellent. But I have no criticism. My comments are simply this. This is the dangerous thing that can happen when we isolate a quote from the rest of the message, because it will sound just exactly as though he isn't present. See, that's what this has done. Now, I don't know what... I'm sure the person doesn't mean that. What does this word appear mean then? It means actually before he appears to you in the meeting in the air. Because he said, shout, voice, trumpet. They all three have to come first. And voice, and shout is a message. And voice is the resurrection. And the trumpet is the catching up. Those are the three things that must happen. So he's talking about the literal physical appearance. When that spirit that's in the midst of you becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, now this is the thing, you see, where you're going to find that I differ very greatly from just about the majority of the preachers, except for brethren sitting here, follow along. We are of the opinion that quotes are dangerous and not simply valueless, but terrible impediments to your welfare unless you know the doctrine. You have got to know the doctrine. Or you won't know where it fits, and I can prove it to you because Brother Branham said if you misplace scripture, you find your cow eating grass on the top of the tree. See? So, remember, the subject is the rapture. Have you got 16 hours? My wife's got to do is get the briefcase upstairs and we'll start. And we'll take you to maybe page 21 out of the 42. I'm not lying to you. I've gone over already about 21 hours. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you. I know what I'm talking about in this subject. He says the subject is the rapture. We got some pretty brilliant people here with good solid degrees. We have amongst us even few PhDs, highly educated. They know how to teach. Now, if I was a teacher, which I used to be, and I said, class, we'll take our history book this morning. Bring me the blackboard, please. And I say, what is two and two? Say, Brother Vail, I thought it was history. Well, that's beside the point, honey. What's two and two make four? Wonderful class. Who will now tell me who engaged in the War of 1812? Somebody said, well, that's fine. Tell me, what is H2O mean? You get what I'm trying to say? Subject is subject. The subject is the rapture. So every single thing the prophet says has to do with the rapture, either pointedly or referring to it. But there is nothing out of line. Moses bringing Israel out of Egypt is rapture. The people scoffing in Peter's rapture. Psalm 27, 1-5, the Lord is my light and my deliverer. Whom shall I be afraid? Just a minute now. When mine enemies camp around me, I'll make the Lord my pavilion. He tells you, I'm going to tell you about the rapture. It's the time of the squeeze. Get ready for hard times. And then he said, now a lot of you folk won't take my avenues. He's telling them flat. You won't agree with me. He said, you'll scoff. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Just a minute now. You say, well, what is heaven? How do I know? I haven't been there. Well, it's not down, I can tell you that. Well, you say it's symbolical. It's in a dimension. Well, the disciples stood there one day. They saw him go up and he said, why do you gaze into heaven? This same Jesus taken up in like manner will come in the same way. Come in this manner will come back in the same manner. So up is evidently up, wherever up is. He comes down. Brother Brandon said, as I read last night, he comes down on earth. Now, you wonder why I get fussed up, because I have people all the time saying, well, I've been knowing he's here for 29 years or 1,000 years. You've been knowing this and you've been knowing that he ain't here. That's what they said about Jesus. He said, I am the Messiah. Oh, no, he ain't here. Now, before you and I meet him, and we have quote after quote, just the other day hearing a tape, Brother Branham categorically said, you've got to be changed to be caught up in the air. And John says, you've got to see him as he is. And that means the apocalyptus and the phanaru. You can't have a phony manifestation in the sense of a phony false prophet. And though the manifestation may be the line of the genuine gift of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, healing, and miracles, if the man is not with the word, it's out. The Lord himself. The Lord himself. The Lord himself shall descend. I was not the one that he appeared. I was only one near him when he did appear down the river. I'm not the one that gave the message, even though I'm packing it. I'm only his voice. The voice of what? The one that appeared. Who came down? Elohim. Who was Melchizedek at the theophany? Elohim. Who brought us to adulthood? Elohim. He's here. All right, now he come with a shout, the same one with the voice. Who raises the dead? God. Who takes us up? God. All those three things happen before you stand before him and enter into the wedding supper, because that spirit and God is spirit. You understand? And when that spirit that's amongst us is incarnated to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, so therefore, this question, though excellent, is out of context. And the person, I don't know who you are, but you have not been reading the rapture tape correctly. You're doing what everybody else does, and I must warn you, you are pitting quote against quote without knowing the doctrine. And when you do that, you'll go down. There's no room for faith. You must come to the definitive. That's right, because if you don't know what you stand for, you'll fall for anything. Now remember, revelation leads to preeminence. Brother Branham said, when that great one comes, it cannot be a man. For he said, I was the wrong one. He said, that one must increase, and I must decrease. Those are the words of John the Baptist. Who is the great one? You know and I know. There is no way to get around it. Jesus did not come to the Gentiles in the form of the body. Give me my Bible, please, there, Tony. Give me 20 hours. I'm talking about something else. I got people who listen to me, too. Preaching on the rapture the other day, and I said, I'll forget it. I said, 4 pages, 2 to go, take me 16 more hours. I said, I can't keep you here, and I won't stay here. Lady met me, never seen me before. Brian's mother stood grinning at the door, said, I'd have sat for 16 hours. Don't worry about her, Brian. She'll get there somehow. Maybe a whole bunch won't get there, but she will. I'm going to go to Matthew 12. Now listen. The 9th verse, he departed thence to another synagogue. Behold, there's a man which had a hand with it. They asked him, saying, is it lawful healing the Sabbath days? They might accuse him. And he said, shall there be a man among you that shall have one sheep fall in the pit in the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold and lift it up? How much then is a man bearing a sheep? Wherefore is lawful to do well in the Sabbath days? If you're a nurse, a doctor, sure. So on, you know. Then said he to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him that they might destroy him. They couldn't take it. Let's get rid of that bird. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying. Now listen, this is the scriptural setting in the flesh, the days of his flesh, that triggers this prophecy. So get it. This prophecy. And it has to be fulfilled. Based on what you just heard. This is the background. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So it goes from the Jews to the Gentiles. Now listen. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Hogwash. You mean to tell me that when he kicked those birds out of the temple, he wasn't striving? Ha! You gotta be sick. You mean he didn't lift his voice the day he lifted his voice and cried, ho! If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. No, he said,
if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. I'll be filled up with your blood.
You mean in the cross he didn't utter a loud voice? Well, come on, read your Bibles. Just a bunch of junk thrown in the garbage. Whoever wrote this book is an idiot. Crazy. Trying to tell me that Jesus didn't strive. Trying to tell me he didn't lift his voice so nobody could hear him. He did to the Jews, but not to the Gentiles. There wasn't one of us. Now listen, the bruised reed shall he not break. He didn't to the Jews. He wiped out their worship system. The smoking flax not quenched. He killed the life in it. It's gone. But when we were crumbling and going down, he said, I'll hold them and bring the life back. Now tell me. And you wonder why I raise my voice and lash out. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. They never saw him in flesh. They have a name. And now we've got that name. Yeah. Brother Branham said, if what he did to the Jews as the true Messiah was relevant and necessary, he is obligated to do the same to the Gentiles, and here he is doing it now in the Holy Spirit. Now, you people, what are you going to do? Who is doing what, and where is he doing it? Oh, Brother Dale, he's not here. You want to fight? Come stand beside me. You got guts? Come on, prove me wrong. I'll name your friends. Yep. I got friends too. I got a man sitting right here. Same man that lied about me lied about Roger. He's lying right now to another man that was sitting here today. He said, Lee, they'll run around the world, he said, breaking churches. So Bob said, now that you said it, naming the dates and places. Let me tell you, that man came down to Carolinas and led churches back to Pentecost. You say, Brother Bale, be sweet, be nice. I'm tired of you people so sweet and so nice. Anything goes. Yeah, do what you want. You're going anyway. Don't get your wires crossed. Read the whole tape. The bomb on you, I think your question's honest. It's very, very good, very legitimate. Have all three phases taken place? By no means. I haven't seen Brother Branham yet. First one up. We certainly don't have new bodies. I'm looking younger every day. Where's old Harry Lancaster? He ain't so old. Hey, boy, when I saw you the last time, you didn't look half as good as you look now. And here he's supposed to have had cancer in the meantime and everything else and fat. I think you'd eat that cancer alive, boy, if you haven't done it already. Keep it up. I'm for you. I ain't for the devil. No, we don't have those bodies. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham said the cells are forming around that word in there. Well, what word, Brother Vail? The shout. And who brings the shout? Oh, I think my organization will do that. Oh, William Branham brought... Oh, hogwash William Branham brought it. He was only a voice. Where was that one? Down on the river. And I see a bunch of people, all these clever people that are so vociferous against what we believe. I wonder about their intelligence. And I hear the man, he's got a little boy, and he's climbed the ladder. And he said, Johnny, come down. And Johnny says, I'm down. He says, yes, I notice you are. Okay, Bob? Not your kid and mine. Get down, you're not down. Turn! I had all the tripe and hogwash I'm taking. I met guys last night, four square, and I mean it today, four square. Now that I'm up, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, explain exactly what I explained last night, why I'm not having any more meetings like these. For the simple reason, it's very, very simple. Most of the time when I leave home, I'm in the realm of a certain area of thinking. And if I leave there, I automatically begin to prepare for messages that I feel might be beneficial and helpful to somebody else, because I cannot deliver you 32 hours and 40 hours of preaching in 45 minutes or 2.5 hours. I can't do it. I'm not a genius. A genius would do it, but I'm not a genius. I'm very stupid, ignorant, and so on. When I break my thought, it's hard to get back to it. Now, I'm not trying to copy Brother Branham, because you know me better than that. I don't look like him. I don't act like him. I don't smell like him. I don't walk like him. I don't hunt like him. There's nothing. He and I are so vastly different. When I was with him, I wouldn't even let my name appear on the billboard with him, because I said, I ain't fit. I do have pretty good hands, so I carry his grips and try to do a little thing like that. I'm 64 in Tampa. He told me this. He said, Brother Vail, he said, I need men around me who will not talk to me very much, who will just let me go about my work. They'll take care of the books. They'll take care of the business, because all my thoughts are of God. And he said, if anybody breaks my thinking, even my daughter or my wife, I might not get it back for 1 month. That's a prophet. Now, I'm not a prophet, so where does it put me? I break my thinking. It's very, very hard to get back. I come to a meeting. Not only is that against me, I've got to recollect myself. You know I spend myself for you. My throat can be gone, everything gone. I'll stay up and do everything I can for you. And it's usually for the people who don't give a rip. They only pester me and bug me. But I got to put up there, because they're genuine people. I go home tired, because I'm working on my nerves. Now, I'm not saying feel sorry for them, because I'm just telling you the condition. Don't worry. I'm doing just fine, because the Lord is my strength. But I'm just letting you know these things. Thirdly, always in the meeting, there is somebody going to pray or do something else that goes right against what I am doing, because they don't know what I'm doing. I'm not hitting people. I don't care about any one of you what you do. Be my guest. Do what you want. If you want to fornicate, don't include me or my wife. If you want to drink booze, be my guest. Just don't include me. I'm not a social drinker. If you want to rob a bank, go ahead. I don't have to. God is my bank. If you want to tell lies, that's wonderful. Sit down and join the Ananias Club. I don't believe in it. You can stink and well do what you want, or jolly well or lovingly do what you want. Lead me out of it. That's fine, see. So what you do is your business. But I'm going to tell you, when I preach, I do not preach against people, though I can name names. I preach against what is being done as a principle according to this word. And I have seen what is going on. I have looked down the road and heard what men preach, and I have absolutely predicted by the nature of what was being said, by what was being said in churches, which would lead preachers to go to other men's wives and molest them. And it has been done. And when men leave their wives or preachers and get into sin, I have seen it done. You're not a fool. And I'm not a fool. When I stand up here and lower the boom, as it were, and then somebody comes around and tries to pray some kind of a spirit, and right away it's the same thing we see in these quote, 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 and brings the spirit in as though I'm trying to pull some deal on you. Well, forget it. I'm not pulling any deal on anybody, and I'm not going anywhere anymore if I can help it. And I'm a bit peevish. You knew I was upset, and I'm telling you frankly why. I determined last night to be very sweet and very kind and very nice. But by the time a spirit got in here to make you people think, oh, hell, we must be very nice. And I've seen these very nice guys. They don't put their church in order. They tell lies. They defraud widows. They pull everything in the book. And I'm supposed to be a dirty, evil, wicked guy doing them, because I cut and I slash because of conditions. Now, if you don't want it, fine. And I'm getting out of everybody's hair. I'm not mad at anybody, but I can only take so much, and I've taken it. And God has blessed me by staying home. And I've prepared maybe to start over on the road again, because I start in meetings like this, and far as I'm concerned, the road. Now, somebody wants one. I'm not against coming and preaching to people, but I'm going to preach at home. Now, I don't have to be on the road anymore. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If I've got something to help you with, I don't want to deprive you. But there's only one meeting that I can handle from now on, which is a little 3-day meeting like up in Columbus from my own hometown. And I will be responsible for every single thing said and how it is said. And every single prayer and what it means. Because I'm not going to have anybody anymore, as far as I'm concerned, praying to the public and as though we're praying to God. Brother Branham himself said, you watch a man pray. He will pray different in his closet than he does in the pulpit. My prayers are very, very close in the closet and in his pulpit. And I'm not boasting. But I want you to know, brother, sister, I don't consider I've been a football or abused or anything else. But look, I am a minister. And if you want to carry my ball, carry my ball. I'm glad to let you do it. I've got no trouble there. But I want this understood. There isn't anybody going to interfere with my ministry. Period, period, period. I will answer to God because I've got you. See? Now this is, I'm not going to answer for you and you for me. But that's what I said last night. It just got to the point. Well, what's the use? Now, again, I say I'm not angry. I have been disturbed because I've had just far, far too much of it. And when it comes to a place, I feel I'm happy to be home. I'm just going to be home. I know it went over like a lead balloon, but you don't need to worry. Brother Bob understands and Roger understands. And it wasn't going to create a bad spirit amongst anybody because you lay it on all Lee Vale. If you think I'm thin-skinned, I am. Didn't think I'd say that, did you? Surprise. I'm truthful. But if you want to follow my trail, go ahead. And if you think my sort of meanness that I've got rubs off on our people, I invite every single one of you at my expense, a few at a time, to come to my town. And you're going to see people that my so-called rotten spirit has not rubbed off on. You're going to see the sweetest, gentlest people that believe this word, hospitable and kind. And nobody understands how all the young people love me. We've got young people in our church. And the little kids are my best friends because they're the stupidest of all. So I'll stand on my record and anything else. But I want you to know this one thing. I've came to this meeting fully prepared to the best of my ability to do things. I appreciate everybody, love everybody, as far as I know what love is. But a lot of people don't know what love is. They think the love amongst brethren is to let the Cainites who distort the word of God and worship according to folly and Satan, that I'm supposed to put my arms around and join in it. Brother, sister, if I know the word of God, you are wrong and I am right. Now, if you want to do it, do it. But don't come around me. And the only safeguard I've got, I'm going to stay by myself if I have to. And you say, Brother Bill, you're kind of raunchy. I never said it wasn't. You just missed the one thing. I'm not just kind of. Now I'll get my bad spirit and Brother Runger. I hit him with a 4x4 to show him 11. No bad spirit. My Brother Runger understands very thoroughly, but just let you know this. I got any more questions? Seeing them up here? Give me the questions. I'll see if I can answer. I kind of got Bob sitting down here. Okay, we got another one. Okay. All right. The resurrection of the dead is the very man that died and turned to dust the same that will rise in crupper. Brother Branham categorically said, he said, look, he said, if this book falls down and comes up a piece of paper, that's not resurrection. Resurrection, man goes down, comes up. But remember, he comes up glorified. Hallelujah. Yep, he will rise incorruptible. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And the first verse there, Brother Branham explained that, is concerning our theophanies, my dear brother and my sister. Don't get mixed up with the other people who are fundamentalists. They don't understand this. He said, for we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle dissolve, we have a building of God, a house made with hands, not made with hands in heaven. That's your theophany. Brother Branham, now listen, the word theophany is not really true. It's your spiritual house. Theophany means theo, which is God, phanero, to prove and show it is God, manifest. But it does in a way. It's the best word Brother Branham can use. I concur with him heartily. You know what it is? It is something that God himself has eternally had there, which is like that Logos. And you stepped into it. You do not leave here, flotsam and jetsam. He said, I used to think, he said, and they'd be a little, like a little cloud floating around without hands and say, hi, Brother Neville, another cloud floating by. And he said, oh, you don't know what this vision did. And he realized he would step into a body, that theophonic body, let's call it that, and he'd hug and they'd just embrace and have a wonderful time with no ulterior feelings or motives. All love and beautiful honey right there, see? Beautiful. Now, it also says here, what was that question there? Oh yeah, it wasn't in the question, but I want to answer, put this before you. But this is very strange. I don't understand this. I thought myself when the dead one with their theophanies come back here and pick up their frames that are out of dust, remolded. Brother Brand said God will create again, not by sex, but by creation from the cosmic rays and the ashes and the petroleum and so on, the calcium. He will form again, create that body. It'll be you. It'll look like you. Absolutely. Just like your theophany will, see? But it's going to be brand new. It'll never perish. All right, now listen. When those people come down here to pick up their bodies, the strange thing, and I don't question it because I believe the prophet, we do not pick up ours. We rise and it picks us up. No problem. I just had to rejuggle my thoughts on that one. But no problem. If the prophet said it, hallelujah. Any more questions? Oh, where did the prophet say that Cain offered first fruits in the message? Well, let's find out. You get out of the word here. Because you see, a first fruit offering is that fruit of the ground. Cain, he offered unto God. Okay, that's not far enough back here. Process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. That's what it was. It had to be. Because you see, there's got to be blood before there's a first fruit offering. Now here's what God said. If thou doest well, shouldst thou not be exempted. That's not the Septuagint said, thou hast offered right. But since thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? The sin offering lieth at the door. And the animal is there waiting for you to do it. This man would not offer blood, but what he did was according to Scripture, but not in line with Scripture. And this is proven by the Hebrews 11. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, if Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, then Cain's was excellent. And so, therefore, you know as well as I do, it is absolutely a fruit offering. It's a first fruit offering. And he was saying, I can make the resurrection without the blood. I'm going to get there and be immortal. And it wouldn't work. As Brother Branham said, this proves serpent seed, because you know how birth is connected to blood and so on. Now, I can't put you in any one specific place where Brother Branham identified it as first fruit at this particular time. I wouldn't be able to give you a quote. On page 22, paragraph 5, rapture, the prophet said the seventh church age typing with Enoch. That's exactly right. In other words, that's when the rapture takes place in the seventh church age. Now, there's no doubt we're in the seventh church age. We all know that. Do you, brethren, believe that we're still in this dispensation? Well, certainly we're in the seventh church age. In the particular sense that we haven't got out of here, and it's the seventh church age that these things are happening. Remember, we're under seal. Now, as far as dispensations are concerning, you don't get them mixed up with seven church ages. Because dispensation, Brother Branham was a dispensationist in the understanding of how God was manifesting himself. He was a dispensation as far as the pillar of fire was concerned, which was Father. And then when the same thing became flesh, it was the Son, and the Father and Son were together. Then when the Holy Ghost came back, it was the dispensation of the Son of God. And now again, we find a short dispensation of the Son of Man. Now there's supposed to be a dispensation of the Son of David coming on. It's the manifestation of Almighty God. Don't get it mixed up with these other things. Your terminology seems to indicate there's some misunderstanding so that an interplay on words confuses you. Now, it's just like somebody said, well, is the blood on the mercy seat? I said, no, just a minute. If the blood is on the mercy seat, what does it matter if you're not in the light? And if the blood is off the mercy seat and you are in the light, it proves that you're already in. Because you wouldn't be... how could you possibly get the Holy Ghost without the blood anyway? So, do you believe we're still in this dispensation? Well, now, you see, you say dispensation in church age. Where do you find that they're interchangeable? Where does it say dispensation 1, dispensation 2, dispensation 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7? It says church ages. So you see, your terminology is completely wrong. You're going to have to rethink your question here. The mighty angel in Revelation 10, one foot on earth and one on sea. See, page 72. Do you believe this happened already to the Jews? No, not to the Jews. Now, I know there's a quote concerning that somewhere in one of the older tapes concerning Brother Branham mentioning that. And so, unless I went back to that, I couldn't tell you that. But Brother Branham categorically says this, that angel that came down was on earth when the seventh church age messenger was down there, and he indicated himself. So therefore, if there is going to be a dual or a double application to this, then that is fine by me, to the Jews or not to the Jews. That doesn't bother me one little bit. The point is he down here for me? See? The mighty one that came down. So he did tell us that that one would be on earth at the time of the Gentiles. And he said that was the time the seventh seal would open, because he said the seventh seal was Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And categorically it had to do with the Gentile prophet. Now if this transfers, and no doubt it could transfer, because I'm not familiar anymore with that obscure quote, because there is one there, but I can't remember, and I wouldn't have the least idea unless it got to the context of it. If this is the same one that is remaining here for the Jews, it could be possible. But remember, as far as I understand Scripture, this one that brings the shout and the voice and the trumpet goes up with us. And then Brother Branham says he appears to the Jews in a symbol. See? And also the fact is he shows himself to his brethren, and they say, well, it looks like, but I sure hope it's not. And they get scared. Well, he said, don't worry about that. He said, this was necessary. See? So I wouldn't know where your question ran in continuity. I wish I could help you more, but there's nothing I could say about that until I'd referred to the old. There is, I believe, an obscure passage there. It's just like Brother Branham made a double reference to over there in Revelation. I believe it's the seventh chapter. And many people get all very unhappy because the church age book says one thing, and they find Brother Branham says another thing, but I got the actual places where he said the other. But the church age book shows it says identically. You say, could it be a compound meaning? That's very fine. I don't know. I can't tell you. And I got to be honest because I simply don't know. Right at this point, all I know is in my understanding of Scripture. And I say, you do what you want. Because it's perfectly fine by me. I'm not here to argue with anybody, to be an authority. My understanding of Scripture is that one that came down positively came with a shout. He appeared on the river. He's coming more and more to the church, identifying himself, gaining favor with the people. And he did gain favor with the people until he revealed who he was. And the minute he said who he was, goodbye. Jesus gained favor because he did the miracles. He said, for what miracle do you stone me? He said, no, not for a good work at all. In fact, we like the fact that you can take those loaves and fishes. In fact, if we could whip you into shape and you could whip us into shape, we could whip the Romans together. Well, why don't you like me? Well, because it's what you said. Because of who you said you are. And we know you're not. Because he's not here. We said, you're looking at him. Oh, no. No, you're not here. Now, Brother Branham said he was brought into plain view. He said the sword in the hand of a skillful swordsman ripped the absolutely asunder, the curtains that held the holy of holies of the creeds and the dogmas were slashed down, and we beheld him in full view. He's in plain view, brother, sister. And people say, well, you're not here. Well, you say, Brother Vail, I know what you're doing. You're using every argument in the book and out of the book for your point of view. What do you think I do? I'm not with the rest of the liars. I'm hitting hard. You bet I'm hitting hard. Because I'm not lying. I'm not telling you lies up here. I'm not lying out there in the street either. Come and check my record. I challenge you. I invite you. I got nothing to hide except my evil deeds. Just kidding, of course. I don't want to wake you up. Okay. I'm taking a lot of time as it is. It's about getting on to 4 o'clock.
Well,
Well, because we're in the seventh church age, it would be. If it happened in the sixth church age, under the sixth church age, that would be not a part of the age specifically, but would be under that particular time, like it's under the seventh seal. You've got seven ages, but the seven seals do not run concurrently with the seven seals. You've got four seals that run the length of the seven church ages, according to Brother Branham on the Gentiles, right? Well, within that, when he went back, he became Son of God. And what people didn't realize, that would change where he would manifest himself as Son of Man. And the Son of Man was revealed. But that did not take away the element of the fact of the Son of God, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Because what he said was, he said, I am not he, the pillar of fire is not he. He's talking to the Son of Man. He says it's in the form of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can see Holy Spirit. We saw ministry. And when the Son of Man was revealed, he was revealed by human flesh and inhuman flesh, and we knew it was he because of the deeds that he did. The same one risen. Now, we can't see a pillar of fire. But that's happened in this hour of the seventh church age. And I don't know that I would not say that the seventh church age is over. I wouldn't say that. And then again, with the seventh church age's end, you have the fullness of the Gentiles. And we're not yet to the fullness of Gentiles as far as we know. And after the fullness, there comes the end of the times of the Gentiles, when Jerusalem is fully restored. Of course, you could put that now with, I think most scholars do, the historical and geographical context there, that that Jerusalem's no longer trodden down to the Gentiles. So the two of them run pretty well concurrently there. You have all these changes. But in my understanding, when Brother Branham spoke of dispensation of the Father, dispensation of the Son, so this would be dispensation of Son of Man, the only thing I can see in this. But it is under our period, church ages. To me, it certainly did, because this is the seventh church age. Now, there are those who take exception to this thought. And that is, they say, this seventh church age is Laodicea, and I am not in Laodicea, so therefore I'm not in the seventh church age. Well, to me, that's merely the bandying of words. I see that would neither condemn me or exalt me or do anything as far as I'm concerned, because I recognize the hour in which I live, which is the hour of his visitation, what he is doing under that seventh seal, which came during the seventh church age to bring us out in liberty. Again, we're looking at days. Brother Brand said the seventh day, we're going to an eighth. Some people say we're in the eighth day. I cannot buy that. I believe we're being ushered into it. But I would say concerning those various terms, that to me at this point, it's more a matter, almost a semantics, more than it's a matter of, yet it's not just that. It's a matter of truth, showing forth what God is to his people. Like, for instance, at this particular time, but God has revealed himself as the Son of Man, and the baptism with the Holy Ghost is a true revelation, and that baptism with the Holy Ghost from that point on says amen to every word that the prophet has brought, then positively, you can see that we are into that particular dispensation of the Son of Man, but we cannot forget the fact that Brother Branham laid hands on people and said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? See, that's again, you got the Son of God. He came back as Son of God. So I'm not prone to take these words and make a fine point of them, as though my doctrine existed for that. I recognize the Son of Man, and that I recognize the days of the Son of Man. I recognize the fact that, where did Brother Branham get that? I'll tell you where he got this over here about the Son of God. He said, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God of power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And it tells you right there, then the same Spirit that was in him when he was in flesh as the Son of David, the Son of David had mercy on him. He came back to the Gentiles as the Son of God. And we know him as the Son of God. But the days of the Son of Man repeat. During what time? During the days of the Son of God. That doesn't make any problem. Because Brother Branham said, here's a prophet, here's the pillar of fire, and now the Son of Man is spirit form. Yeah. See, there's no problem there, because we're just looking at it. I think that was Brother Evans or something, man, that owned the used car lot. Brother Branham mentions this brother that was in the business of used cars, and he got to know him, and he began talking with him, and after being in many meetings, the brother began saying to him, he said, oh, Brother Branham, I'm confused as to whether I'm born again or what I have anyway. Well, he said, but why didn't you talk about it and tell me your story? Well, he said, my wife used to go to meetings, and I let her go, and it was nice that she went, and I didn't mind at all. But I had my drinking and my smoking and my ways, and it was fine for me, for her. You know, she didn't bother me and I didn't bother her, because I let her go ahead, and she didn't have the influence on me at that time, so I just let her go on. Well, he said he picked up a book one time, began reading in the book, as I recall, and then he began going to meetings and looking around. He went to Pentecostal meetings, he went to Baptist meetings and that meetings and other things. And I believe it was during the time he was reading the book that suddenly he found that who needed to smoke? Who needed to curse? Or who needed anything? And he found that he was quite a different person. And so he heard about the Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The interest began to revive again. He went around looking, but he said, they told me to do this. He said, it didn't satisfy him. He said, they said this and that didn't satisfy. He said, this and that didn't satisfy. He said, no. He said, I just couldn't find any satisfaction. And he said, I'm still unsatisfied. He said, I really don't know. What is it all about? Brother Band said, well, tell me. He said, when was that time that you talk about that you were different? And he told him the time that he gave. He said, that's the time that you received the Holy Ghost. Now, here's a man that evidently didn't know what had happened, but it fell in the category that a woman cannot have a baby without knowing unless she's comatose or in a comatose state or under some kind of a drug. But the thing is this, he said, you know that. Even though there isn't the sensations and all those various formulas that people go through. And so now here was a man who was believing in Brother Branham, who saw the truth in the message, and he was wondering, did he ever receive the Holy Ghost? Is there anything I can look back on? And Brother Branham took him back to that time that would be least relevant in his mind as to indicate that really he had received something of this dynamic proportion, because all he could remember was having, as I believe the story is right or what I recall, that he read the book or some tract, and after that, well, where was the smoking gone? Where was the drinking gone? Where was the desire gone? Where was it? And Brother Band said, that was that time. Now, there's no doubt the prophet could not have said that had the man not been fully inclined toward the Word of God. See, if you got the Holy Ghost, he said, how in the world can you be full of the Holy Ghost and not say amen to every word? And they'd say, well, William Branham, that's just you. Well, it wasn't William Branham. See, this is the thing that people, it's hard to understand, but he said, when you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, and this Bible opened before me, the Word of God. And people then wonder, they don't even begin to think and say, well, as ever he did? How did God set up a pattern in his Word that we are conversant with that makes us to know that God has stood before groups of men and expressed himself, declared himself? See, now, when was that anyway? Mount Sinai? That could have been it. No. He didn't talk to anybody except Moses. Well, let's see. Did he appear to all the Jews and talk in the days of Isaiah? No. 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 He talked to Isaiah. Well, now, well, what about the time of Jeremiah? Did God appear before groups of men? Not that I recall, they say. But he did. When Moses was there, God appeared and declared himself. I see, I'm getting close to idolatry. That's what the Jews said. This man makes himself God. Kill him. Idolatry. They sure would like to kill Brother Ram. So when you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, that tells you that's Hebrews 1:1-2. God in various ways and in different manners gave a portion of the word to the people as God was in the prophets. See? So there you have it. Okay. Lord bless you. I trust the unexplainable has been explained. The unknown is now made known. Shall we close? Let's rise.